And now the Great American Folk Show, a little place where we commune with you to share stories and sing some songs and talk to some good people with great voices. On this show, an interview with Grammy-nominated musicologist, Appalachian tune enthusiast, and singer-songwriter Tom Utes. A spotlight on a local great, a teacher, English teacher at East Grand Forks Senior High, Mrs. Heisler. I'm going to discuss with her a book of poems which influenced me greatly, The Spoon River Anthology by Edgar Lee Masters. Plus live sessions from banjo-playing, folk-lovin', Righteous Babe recording artists, Sweet Petunia, and from Virginia, Connor Daly, who will share his brand new tune, Like a River. I'm Tom Russo. It's great to have you along for the ride. We begin today with Julian Taylor, and I've been a fan of his music for a long time. A few years ago, he released the song Seeds, and as soon as I heard it, it was one of those I gotta hear it again and again kinds of songs. Julian is skilled at it all, songwriting, guitar playing, one of the clearest voices in country music today. He joins us from Canada to share new music from his album Anthology Volume 2. It's Julian Taylor on the Great American Folk Show.
Sunrise, like a shadow on the day, and it hovered in the clear sky like a bird of prey. Took the baby from the cradle, stole the blankets from the bed, and it sat down at their table, drank their water, ate their bread. Hunger, hunger, cross the fields like rolling thunder. How much longer must we feel this hunger? It settled down among us like a guest who never leaves. It turned mothers against children, turned brothers into thieves. Hunger, hunger, we get old and you get younger. Hunger is the king we're living under. Well, I'm not a patient man, but I can wait until
Hi, this is Canadian singer-songwriter Julian Taylor for the Great American Folk Show. I wanted to talk a little bit about my song, Weighing Down. It was released on my album, Pathways, which was produced by Colin Lennon. Some of it was recorded in Nashville at his place, and some of it was recorded at Jucasa, which is on Six Nations of the Grand River, close to Toronto. Weighing Down's a song that addresses the burden that we all have in our lives, and, you know, the breaking point where you know, where you're caring too much, you find that it is too much to bear. And you have to sort of find a way back to yourself. It's really a song about self-compassion and not allowing our own thoughts and our own feelings about things that we may have said, that we may have done to other people or even to ourselves. And those roadblocks can really be a sign of wear and tear within ourselves. And certainly the way that we treat others reflects on that too. So I wanted to write a song that, you know, spoke to my own experience. And I'm just so happy that my own experience is one that is relatable and connected to the experience of so many others out there. So weighing down is really about getting over yourself in a way. It's about resilience. It's about a shift in perspective. It's about relationships and shared experiences. It's about all those things. So I hope that people enjoy the song. Much love, much kindness. Wishing everyone peace, love, and harmony. Ciao.
Brick and mortar, and solid as the ground. But you're caring too much, and slowly breaking down. Cannon fodder, and looking to escape the heaviness of all of your mistakes. Weighing down, don't let it weigh you down. You've been so hard on yourself that it's time to let things soften now. Weighing down, don't let it weigh you down. You've been so hard on yourself that it's time to let things soften now. You wish you weren't, but you're falling down again. It's been a hard road, full of lessons. Feeling hungry and trapped in solitude. The way that we choose to look at things is an attitude. Looking at the skyline tonight, I choose gratitude. Weighing down, don't let it weigh you down. You've been so hard on yourself that it's time to let things soften now. Weighing down, don't let it weigh you down. You've been so hard on yourself that it's time to let things soften now. You've been so hard on yourself that it's time to let things soften now. I waited for you like you waited for me too. You didn't get it right, wanted to. Weighing down, don't let it weigh you down. You've been so hard on yourself that it's time to let things soften now. Weighing down, don't let it weigh you down. You've been so hard on yourself that it's time to let things soften now. You've been so hard on yourself that it's time to let things soften now.
I'm Tom Brousseau. Blessings to you and your family. Thanks for listening today. Banjo-driven acoustic duo Sweet Petunia's new album on Annie DeFranco's Righteous Babe Records is both a nod to folks' past traditions and a turned-up collar to the winds of the future. It's called Foggy Mountain Mental Breakdown. It's a play on Foggy Mountain Breakdown by bluegrass great Earl Scruggs. Check out this first tune. I Wanna Run is the name of it.
Hello there, I'm Marade Guy, and I'm one half of Sweet Petunia, an alternative folk duo based here in Boston, Massachusetts, with my wonderful friend, Maddie Simpson. We met 8 years ago in our freshman year of college and have been playing everywhere we can ever since. We have played actively flooding house show basements, indoor rock climbing gyms, lesbian bars, tractor parades, an asparagus festival, and plenty of listening rooms, too. Coming up in April, we're going to be playing all down the East Coast and the South, supporting Annie DeFranco and promoting our new album, Foggy Mountain Mental Breakdown, which is out March 13th on Righteous Babe Records. Maddie and I both have a deep respect and love for the old-time tradition and are both die-hard clawhammer banjo players. For me, banjo runs in my family. My great-uncle Patrick McCauley and his partner in music and in life, Barbara Stevens, formed a duo under the stage names Annie and Mac in the early 2000s. Uncle Pat was a rippin' clawhammer banjo player, and I watched him in awe my whole life. I was fortunate enough to grow up in a musical family, where I learned the old-time tradition and family gatherings culminated, and still do, in the family singing and playing together. For the first few years of my life, I watched from the sidelines as my great-aunt and uncle, my Aunt Lynn and Uncle Barry, who are also great but not in the generational classification, My parents, my cousins, my brother, and anyone else who felt brave enough to join in played together, and year by year I joined in more and more until I couldn't imagine my life without it. Sadly, my dear great uncle passed away in 2019, and I had really only just begun to pick up a banjo in any serious capacity, but my Uncle Barry, having been charged with dividing up Uncle Pat's enormous banjo collection, bestowed upon me a beautiful banjo that had me just completely hooked. I had always found so much inspiration in my Uncle Patrick's playing, and though I regret not having the chance to play banjo alongside him, having somehow ended up in an old-time-inspired duo as well feels fated. When he did die, Maddie and I decided to learn this tune, Walking Cane, from a recording off of the Annie and Mac album, Message from the Hills, in his honor, and we've played it ever since. A few years later, when I was experiencing a particularly difficult summer, wrought with insomnia and the first of many quarter-life crises induced by COVID isolation and a terrible relationship, I wrote this tune called Heels. I bemoaned my sleepless nights, where what little sleep I had was tarnished by vivid nightmares that left me as exhausted as if I'd never slept at all. But as Maddie and I worked together to arrange it, the more we felt drawn to the same call-and-response sort of harmony that we were accustomed to when singing Walking Cane. And thus, this oddly perfect combination of this true old-time tune flowing directly into a modern punk and old-time influenced tune was born.
Sins are taken away.
You just heard Sweet Petunia all the way from Boston with that tune, The Old Walkin' Cane. Their new one, A Foggy Mountain Mental Breakdown, is out on Righteous Babe Records. It's the Great American Folk Show. Poet Edgar Lee Masters' Spoon River Anthology comprises testimonies, 244 to be exact, delivered not by the living, but by the dead. It's magnificent and heartbreaking, and it's perfect in every way. Though he wrote it as a fictional work, Edgar Lee Masters actually visited a real cemetery, Oak Hill Cemetery, in Lewiston, Illinois. It's called The Hill, and he roamed through it. And I suppose each tombstone just seemed to tell him his own kind of tale. Well, I remember fondly reading selections from the Spoon River Anthology in high school. Masters' writing, challenging as it may have been, it was an inspiration to me. Each poem is only a few lines long, but the poetry is really weighty. I mean, the good stuff is always weighty, and it's ever-changing. For over 30 years, the Spoon River Anthology has remained very fresh, very living. As I've revisited its pages, it still speaks to me. My former high school English teacher, Mrs. Heisler, still teaches in my hometown, just right across the river in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. Like Masters, Mrs. Heisler inspired me to invest myself in the importance of the written word. And nobody forgets a good teacher. Since I've had the Spoon River Anthology on my mind, I invited her onto the show to share her thoughts on this masterful work and even read one of her favorite poems from the Spoon River Anthology. Mrs. Heisler is a local great and one of my absolute favorite teachers of all time. She's a hero teacher to me. Do you have a hero teacher? Call them up, send them a note, and tell them so. They are essential, these teachers. They're foundational. They are the backbone of society. Mrs. Heisler, it is so good to see you again. Welcome to the Great American Folk Show.
Thank you, Tom. I love it that I have this opportunity to touch base with you and to reconnect. And as we're co-teaching, really kind of alongside each other across here in the rivers from many years ago.
Well, I'm just not even a mile away over at Sacred Heart, and you're right here. And as I'm getting used to the teaching lifestyle, I'm trying to figure out what direction I want to go into, because there's all kinds of directions. When you're teaching novels, you've got a stack of novels, grammar's got its own grammar thing, and then poetry has its own poetry section. And I imagine that you've got many choices in your own curriculum, and I bet that you've had to continually make choices to keep it fresh in the classroom.
Absolutely. And when you speak of poetry, it's kind of ironic because I think when I first started, it was the hardest thing for me to teach. Just the other day, my daughter, who teaches second grade, she said, "I have to teach poetry," and she was not very excited about it. But it's something that you have to learn the tricks of the trade to really teach, and now it's some of my favorite things to teach.
Poetry is not exactly page-turning material. You read it, you linger on it for a little bit, and you have to let it seep in.
I always start off my poetry units by asking kids to raise their hand if they like music, and then they have their hand up in the air, and then I say, "Now you have to keep your hand up because you like poetry." And they all look at me like I'm crazy. But then when I explain that the lyrics of a song is, it's poetry. And you have to learn to read poetry as the author intended. And we really stress that you have to know who the speaker is. And then you also have to pay attention to punctuation, that those punctuation marks are so important for you to understand the meaning of the poem.
And go back again and read it over and over again.
Yeah, and I emphasize that you have to read it again and again, and pretty soon, by the fifth, sixth time, all of a sudden something new is going to catch on for you and hit home. And that is really, really hard for kids today because they're so used to technology and having everything at their fingertips that they don't necessarily want to have to spend time pondering something.
But it's a lot of fun, though, don't you think? Once you start to see the lights go off and they're getting it, they're getting into a poet's language, and you must love to see that connection. And that's probably got to be the thing that keeps you teaching year after year, is that little light bulb.
For sure. Our freshman this year, we were doing some poetry, and there was an interesting poem, and all of a sudden I looked up, and about three of the kids had wide eyes and mouths open, and I went, "Oh, you guys got it, didn't you?" And when they said it to the other kids, it was so funny because some of them are saying, "Wait, what? Where did you find that?" And so it's really fun to see that light go off and the epiphany come through.
We're visiting with Mrs. Heisler, English teacher for almost four decades. I was in your class 30-some years ago now, and I remember learning the Spoon River Anthology. This book changed my life. And it's not just the book, it's not just the writing, it's not just the poem, it was the teacher behind it. And I wish that I could remember those days, you know, a little bit more clearly and to like really be able to take a look at what it was. But it was probably just that here was a person, you, Mrs. Heisler, who really cared and who was patient and who took the time. And even though we might have had before us that anthology that contains some 200 of these poems, we were just doing selections. And it wasn't, we needed to burn through one and get to the next, that we were going to linger a little bit, maybe talk some of the history. And I remember you bringing in Edgar Lee Masters, some of his biography, and that seemed to really be the thing to open my eyes as to what this guy was accomplishing. But it's a beautiful book, and you've been teaching it for a long time, I know. What are your thoughts on this Spoon River Anthology by Edgar Lee Masters?
I think what appeals to kids is that it's not a book where you pick up and you start on page one and you go to page 300. You know, it's one you can jump around. And when I teach it and I have kids looking at it, I love how they can read a poem and they read about somebody who's speaking from the grave and they mention someone else, and pretty soon they're scrolling through trying to find that other person and they're trying to make connections. And then, you know, I've even had kids, like, the next day you put something on the board and somebody will say, "Oh, I read something about that person. Wait a second. Let me look at my notes." You know, and they make those connections. And finally, they start to realize, like, this fictional community has so many realities in it. And that, you know, life is full of all kinds of situations. I think that, you know, the scandals and the drama appeal to them at first. But later, it's the empathy and the feelings that people experience that really resound with them.
I remember later getting into folk music, and there's a genre of folk music called murder ballads, where you're hearing about these sometimes devastating things that happen in the song form. It's kind of a curious thing, but you become interested in a genre like that. For a long time, I wondered why. And I think it's because in some way it reminds us that we're not alone, that good and bad things have happened in the past, they're happening now, and they're going to probably happen again.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, sometimes kids, especially the students, they forget that there is all kinds of life going on around them. And when they can see that other people have issues, other people have challenges, and it's not abnormal to have a challenge. That's just the way life is, and you have to rise above that. And I think that kids like to find a little bit of themselves or lose themselves into the characters and be able to feel inspiration about what's going on.
We've been visiting today with Mrs. Heisler, English teacher over here in East Grand Forks at East Grand Forks Senior High. Mrs. Heisler, thank you so much for being on the show. And I wonder if you wouldn't mind. You've got that old Spoon River Anthology book before you. Would you please read us a poem from it?
Absolutely. This poem is Julia Miller. So those of you who aren't familiar with the book, it's a fictional town, and these are all people who are buried up on the hill, and they're speaking from the grave. We quarreled that morning, for he was 65, and I was 30, and I was nervous and heavy with the child whose birth I dreaded. I thought over the last letter written me by that estranged young soul whose betrayal of me I had concealed by marrying the old man. Then I took morphine and sat down to read. Across the blackness that came over my eyes, I see the flickering light of these words even now. And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
That is such a powerful poem. And you read it so well. Thank you again, Mrs. Heisler, for being on the Great American Folk Show.
Thank you for having me.
And if you are looking for an eternal batch of poems, check out Edgar Lee Master's Spoon River Anthology, or better yet, give a copy to a friend. National Poetry Month is right around the corner. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative, helping meet the electricity needs of rural member cooperatives in eastern North Dakota and northwestern Minnesota. Our power is our people. More information at minnkota.com. You're listening to the Great American Folk Show. Thanks for that. It's a pleasure to have you here. Tom Utes was on the show a couple of years back with Martin Simpson and their joint album of Appalachian tunes called Nothing But Green Willow. Since then, he's been pretty busy collaborating, doing solo stuff, producing, teaching songwriting in Nashville, Tennessee at Belmont University. He's a very interesting guy. He's got a great story, too. And for years, I wanted to talk to him. So I was thrilled to get the chance recently. And in a moment, I'm going to share that with you. Tom's new album, and he has over 50 to his name, is a total stunner. And I do hope that the Recording Academy finally gives him a Grammy. He was nominated before, you know. Nobody that I know knows more than this guy about the American experience. This guy's lived 1,000 lives in the South. The current one has him in the role of a rambler on the Mississippi River. Check out this Ramblin' Gamblin' Blues tune of his. It should knock your socks off.
The Delta Queen of New Orleans in the Dixie Morning Dew. She's the finest steamer that you've ever seen, headed up to Old St. Louis. I'm a rambling gambling man from Tennessee. I'm looking for a game of cards, four aces in a deck and one of my sleeve makes the winning not so hard. Mississippi roll, easy money for my pocket and muddy water for my soul. Roll, Mississippi roll. I got $100 bill and 300 miles to go. My best friend, Jack of Spades, you know you've been a good old pal up and down the river bend. So mister, go pull up a chair and sit right down. That seat is hot, the whiskey is strong. We'll play you all the way up to Memphis town or till your greenback dollar's gone. Roll, Mississippi roll, easy money for my pocket and muddy water for my soul. Roll, Mississippi roll. I got $100 bill and 200 miles to go. I got $100 bill and 200 miles to go.
Welcome, Tom Utes, to the Great American Folk Show. Tom, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to be here.
Your new album is due out very soon. The single's just been released, Ramblin' Gamblin' Blues, which is a lot of fun. It's got that 1920s Georgia sound, kind of laid back Jimmy Rogers feeling, harmonies, acoustic instrumentation. And it seems to set the tone for the rest of the record. Tell us how Ring of Belen came to be.
I wasn't really planning to make a solo record. I just wanted to record, beginning of last year, a couple things with just me playing guitar and a bass player and me singing at the same time. I just wanted to see how that would work out. I wanted to do something that sounded more old, but not retro at the same time. So I recorded a couple of things with my friend, great bass player Mark Fain, and I really liked the way it sounded. And then I looked at a couple other songs, and I realized that there was sort of a common narrative to the songs that paralleled my life over the last 20 years and my development as a musician, as a person, as a songwriter. And so I just kept recording, and I write a lot of songs, so I have a lot of material to pull from. But these 18 songs on that record sort of presented themselves to me as a somewhat cohesive narrative, at least in my view. And so I just kept recording, and I added as little as possible to every song, just whatever the song needed. I didn't want to layer a lot of stuff, and I wanted to record pretty much everything live. So Ramblin' Gamblin' Blues is all live. And yeah, it sounds maybe like something left over from the Delmore Brothers or something like that, or from the Jimmy Rogers catalog. And that's the kind of music that I like to listen to, and that's what I wanted to do on this record. So that's how the whole thing came about.
It seemed like a good deal, and maybe it was. Fresh coat of paint covered over the floss felt like an oasis, but it was just a mirage. With a two-car garage, it ain't hard to remember. Man, I hated that house. Easy way.
So you've got all these songs that you've written, and eventually you go back into them and see what you got. Was there a catalyst song, do you think, for you that said, okay, I think this is the thing that I'll take as the song to build the rest of the record around?
Yeah, I think it's the song that's going to be the second single. It's called Too Many Walls, and it's a song about space. It's a song about houses. It's a song about places. It's about a house I grew up in. But not only, it's also about houses I lived in, about houses that friends of mine have lived and died in. And so that sort of became the centerpiece that the whole record is built around.
Idiot screen, painless distraction, a patch on the green, flashes of memories never relieved. It ain't hard to remember. Man, I hated that house. Easy way, narrow way out.
If you're just joining us, this is the Great American Folk Show. We're on the phone with Tom Utes. Let's talk about where you're from. Originally from Germany, you came over here as a young lad, and you were in search of the American experience through music.
I was, when I was 11 years old, I saw Bobby Bear play on a German country music television show.
On 500 miles away from home.
In that moment, something clicked in my soul that I wanted to do that very thing, play that music, and I just had to wait till I could realize that and move to the States and ultimately became an American citizen and traveled with a lot of American artists. And American music is something that's still extremely fascinating to me and draws me to it. And I love living in the South. I love the culture. I love the language. I love the food. Don't always love the politics, but that's, I probably could say that for a lot of places in America right now. But yeah, this is where I belong. This is where I feel at home. And that's why I studied Appalachian studies, because you know, this is the region where a lot of the music that inspires me is from, and a lot of the stories and a lot of the people, you know, folks like Doc Watson or Jimmy Rogers, or to some extent connected to this region. If you talk about Appalachia and Jimmy Rogers, you know, Jimmy Rogers was from Mississippi, but the first time he recorded was in Asheville, North Carolina, when he was there on the radio there, and then at the Bristol Sessions in 1927.
I had a friend named Ramblin' Bob, who used to steal, gamble, and rob. He thought he was the smartest guy in town.
So all that stuff is super fascinating to me because it's so young, you know, like everything is 100 years ago, you know, or a little more than 100 years ago that makes my musical world turn. And I just love the fact that you can put your hand on it and feel that it's still alive and warm and relatable and still being developed into new music. And that's eternally fascinating to me.
Quit playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now.
I agree. There's something interesting about that. I mean, you could shake hands with somebody who shook hands with A.P. Carter or Jimmie Rodgers or, I mean, any of those old greats. It wasn't that long ago, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, as a matter of fact, I made two records with bluegrass legend Mack Wiseman, and he knew A.P. Carter, and he told me about sitting on the sidewalk in Bristol after the Farmer and Funtime show, you know, talking to A.P., and A.P. was selling pocket testaments out of on the radio. And so that's amazing, you know, to hear those stories firsthand.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Great American Folk Show. We've been visiting with Tom Utes. Tom, I want to bring it back home to this record, beautiful record, Ring a Bell. And I want to end with this last song, a gorgeous tune called Bitter Change. It was certainly a pleasure to have you, and I want to wish you all the best out there.
Man, thank you so much. I really appreciate your support, and I always enjoy coming on this show.
Drawn from the river, plucked from the dirt, started with nothing, my feet hit the earth. Came with a reason, came with worth. Keep my head down, bent to the world. Sunday praying to the Father. Monday has me feeling strange. Working for a rich man's dollar. Getting paid in bitter. Myself down the sidewalk, the city's at play. I don't speak of my dreams, I keep them a day. The good Lord giveth and taketh away. At the edge of my vision rises the day. Sunday praying to the Father. Monday has me feeling strange. Working for a rich man's dollar, getting paid in bitter change. From the dirt, keep my head down, bent to the world.
We conclude today's show with a live session from Connor Daly, singer-songwriter from Virginia. He's new on the scene. His songs today are Like a River, and then this one, Echoes. from midnight.
Electric running through the lines, empty glass bottles rolling around. You lay your body on mine, and I pull you in tight, right on me, and say, do you hear that sound? The echoes of midnight fill in the air. The sound of our love goes nowhere. Covered by the creek, flowing strong. Wind in the trees start to sing along in the echoes of midnight. Felt like forever, wait for the sun to fall below the grass on the hill. But it's pitch black now, and I think there's a stain from red wine that got spilled. When I pulled you in tight, right on me, and we joined in. The echoes of midnight fill in the air. The sound of our love goes nowhere. Covered by the creek, flowing strong. Wind in the trees start to sing along. Sound of our love goes nowhere. Covered by the creek, flowing strong. Wind in the trees start to sing along in the echoes of midnight. Echoes of
Hey there, my name is Connor Daly, and I am an Americana artist, and I currently live in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm originally from Virginia, specifically Northern Virginia, which is kind of right outside the DC area, and I've been playing music pretty much my whole life. I started with some piano lessons when I was about 5, and then eventually got a guitar in my hand when 7th grade came along, and then played guitar throughout high school. And then, you know, naturally from there, it just kind of evolved into starting writing some songs. That's kind of what I fell in love with for the most part, music-wise. I was in college and just sat down in my room one day and I was like, I know how to play the guitar and string some chords together, so might as well try to put some words to it. And that's when I wrote my first song, and I've written probably a couple hundred songs by this point. I've put out my debut album in 2024. As far as my musical influences go, I'm a huge fan of Jason Isbell. I know a lot of other people are too. He's a craftsman with words and storylines, and I just love his songwriting. So if I had to pull inspiration from anywhere, it's probably the countless hours that I've listened to Jason Isbell songs. And yeah, you know, I'm living in Nashville now, playing out when I can, and just really focused on this new music and the new sound that I've been trying to go for after my first debut album. Really happy with how it's all turning out. So if you guys want to stay updated on everything Connor Daly and all my new music and all the stuff I got going on, feel free to drop me a follow on all of these social platforms at Connor Daly Music, or also on Spotify, Connor Daly, or anywhere you stream your music. Thank you guys for listening. And a big thanks to the Great American Folk Show for having me on. Thank you, guys.
One summer, the AC broke. Bought a bag of ice and a cup of cokes. We sat outside down by the creek.
Everybody else hated that day, but I don't remember it that way. It was the first time you said you loved me. My heart was like a river, not knowing where it flows. But right when I saw you, I knew. From the top of the mountains and down flooded roads, I found the ocean blue. 'Cause honey, it's you. I was always running to you. Told you I'd buy a place where you could jump in the water every day. And after years of work, that's what I did. The house had leaks and creaked real loud. It'll give us stories to talk about. We sit down for dinner with our kids. My heart was like a river, not knowing where it flows. But right when I saw you, I knew. From the top of the mountains and down flooded roads, I found the ocean blue. 'Cause honey, it's you. I was always running to
That's our show for today. We'd like to thank you for listening. We'd like to thank our guests. You just heard a live session from Connor Daly. We began the show with Julian Taylor, Sweet Petunia from Boston, Mrs. Heisler, my former English teacher, and Tom Utes. Support for the Great American Folk Show comes from the Lorac family, the estate of Blair Flegel, and Minn Kota Power Cooperative. My name is Tom Brusseau. May you always find that old, lucky old sun rolling around in the sky until we meet again.